It's Christmas party season. You may already have been to one. Certainly you'll have been in the past. And I don't have to tell you that they can be fantastic. I've been to some brilliant ones. I also don't have to tell you that sometimes they can be a bit dull. You don't want that. But what you really don't want is for them to go pear-shaped. An HR consultant, Karen Gately, says it happens more than it should.
Unfortunately, that's relatively common. You know, I think obviously depending on what we mean by wrong, there's varying degrees of consequences of behaviours I observe at parties that do have flow-on impacts to businesses into the new year. So I'd have to say quite often.
I am curious because although there's certainly this idea in popular culture out there that you get poor or at least ill-advised behaviour at the Christmas party, the ones I go to are pretty well behaved, I have to say.
Yeah, look, I think there's been a lot of work done in recent years to educate employers and employees around the fact that Christmas parties or parties in general sponsored by the employer are an extension of the workplace. So I think there is far more education and awareness that we can't just, you know, have a free-for-all and behave like it's a private party. So, you know, that's good to hear, but unfortunately not everybody has kept pace or caught up.
It's probably, in my case, also a function of maturity. When I was young, going to Christmas parties with lots of other young people, it was a bit different to now, I have to say.
Yeah, that's right.
Karen, let's walk through a few issues. You get to the party. What if you're not happy with the venue or the type of party or whatever?
I think, you know, what's important to remember in those moments is common courtesy. And, you know, if you're invited to a party by a friend and you've decided it's not the best type of party that they should be having, you know, clearly you would keep that to yourself and be polite and be grateful for the event that you are being given. Clearly, that doesn't mean you can't give constructive feedback to the event organisers and the people who have put it together. But, you know, I strongly recommend that you do that in the new year and you do that in a constructive way, certainly not being ungrateful for what it is that your employers
So don't approach them on the night and say, you know, you've got this completely wrong.
No, I really recommend you don't. You know, again, be fair to those people. Typically, they think it is a good idea and they've worked hard to make it happen and their intentions are good. And it's an inappropriate point to give anybody performance feedback, really.
What about what you wear? Should it be similar to what you'd wear at work?
Yeah, look, I think, again, it starts with understanding the culture of your organisation and what is considered broadly appropriate. So, again, every organisation has either more, you know, sort of formal or relaxed dress codes. And then it's about understanding the actual event and, you know, the nature of the event. So if it's a family barbecue, it's unlikely that dressing as though you're going to the nightclub is the appropriate attire, you know. So I think, you know, use good judgment around what the people that you are with are likely to consider to be respectful way of presenting yourself.
Well, I suppose the big issue is alcohol. What's a good rule of thumb here?
Well, you know, some organisations go as far as to say we no longer serve alcohol, and clearly that's an option. I think in, you know, many Australian workplaces, the culture is that people expect to at least have a drink or two. It's about making sure that we educate people about the risks of going too far and the fact that this is an extension of the workplace and the expectation that people are responsible with their consumption of alcohol. So I don't think we need to completely shut it down and, you know, get to start parenting our teams and not let them have a drink if that's appropriate again for your business.
The reason why I've asked you about, I mean, because alcohol is where things start to go wrong, isn't it? If people just have too much. And many years ago, I can recall a brilliant and well-liked senior manager standing up against a wall, and then if you looked a little closer, you could realise he was asleep. He just...
Yeah, that's right. And many of the challenges that we're asked to help businesses to solve do relate to alcohol. They are poor decisions that leaders or individuals have made, and, you know, people have observed them behaving in ways that, you know, they either have lost respect for them or even worse, obviously, where conflicts arise or, you know, breaches of employment law can happen in terms of sexual harassment, for example. So those things happen, and often what we observe is poor judgment around alcohol is key.
Yeah, it's not really. Once you've had a few too many, it's a bit too easy to want to go and resolve that disagreement you've had with someone.
That's right. I've found myself, you know, cutting people off on the path to, you know, going to have a conversation that they really don't want to have right now, you know, where they've suddenly decided now's a great idea to go and talk to the CEO about how they need to improve or go and talk to some colleague that's been frustrating them all year. Those are not the appropriate moments to deal with those types of issues, to state the obvious. And I think we just need to look out for our mates as well. You know, if people are getting a bit untidy and starting to engage in conversations that aren't going to help them or anybody else, then call it, you know, and encourage them to perhaps choose a different time and place.
That's it. I can recall one party, and this is in the last millennium, Karen, it's a long time ago, and there was a spectacular argument between these two producers, and neither of them took any prisoners. And it was like, it was kind of like being back at school and watching a fight. There were all these people around, not quite believing what was happening.
That's right. And then obviously that impacts their credibility, you know, in terms of their emotional intelligence, their maturity, their professionalism, you know, and then the ability to lead by example and hold other people accountable to, you know, appropriate conduct after you've decided to behave that way becomes very difficult.
And, of course, other things can go wrong as well, especially under the influence of too much alcohol. What are the worst things that you've kind of encountered? No names, but, you know.
No, exactly. Well, obviously, there is the conflict. You know, we've seen people get into the punch-up and, you know, physical violence becomes part of the issue. In another category, I can think of an HR director that was you know, inebriated and proceeded to fall over on the dance floor and her dress ended up over her head. And, you know, again, that was something that took a lot of coming back from in terms of credibility, you know, in that position to then say to the rest of your workforce, you need to conduct yourselves professionally, gets really difficult. And then, you know, there are the people who choose to complain and carry on all night, all day about, you know, the event not being good enough, or, you know, they're not pleased. So, you know, there's lots of different behaviours I see, but those that fundamentally are destructive to relationships and health and wellbeing are clearly those that are most serious.
So what? Pace yourself. Remember that although it's a party, it's still a work thing.
That's right. And it impacts your reputation.
And maybe plan to leave early too. That wouldn't be a bad idea.
Exactly. And I had a colleague make that comment just to me this morning, that it's always important for leaders to keep a key eye on how the party's going and make sure that people are keeping, you know, things in check. But it's important to know when the work party is over and the leaders leave, and the staff then, if they want to continue and go off and do something else, is up to them. But so it's not quite leaving early, but it's the same concept around, you know when the work party's over and then your team are just off doing their own thing. I think it's an important strategy.
Yeah, you can still have fun, but maybe it's worth, I don't know if this is a helpful idea or not, Karen, so tell me if it isn't. But if you imagine that your nan is there, then you're going to behave. You can still have a drink. You're just going to behave a bit better, aren't you?
That's right. And I've always used, I think Nan's a great example. I've also used, you know, the first time you're going to meet your mother-in-law, assuming you actually care about impressing her, or, you know, whoever in your life is somebody that you do respect, or you do want to keep their respect and trust in you, then, yeah, reflect on how you would choose to conduct yourself if they were there. I think that's a great idea.
Karen, it's very timely advice at this time of year. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Karen Gately is the founder of HR firm Ryan Gately. And on that cautionary note, it's time for us to wrap up. You'll find more information on our homepage at abc.net.au/rn. Best Practice is produced by Mudita Dias. Our sound engineer is Joe Wallace. I'm Richard Ailey.